And to be able to bless the name of the Lord begins by being able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's the beginning. When you're able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd," then you're in a place of relationship to be able to worship and bless and honor His name. Today I want to invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as we continue with this emphasis on who's your one. While you're finding your place this morning, I wanted to just say to those of you that were a part of our worship last week and picked up your prayer guides, thank you for having a heart for those who are in need of hope, eternal hope, and that being Jesus Christ. I believe it was like 281 of you that have committed by picking up a prayer guide to pray about who that one person the Lord would place in your life in these coming weeks. Not only to pray for them to come to an understanding of Christ, but also as a part of your praying that God would open a door for you to share a gospel witness. And ultimately, as we shared last week, it is the Lord's work of restoring and redeeming. We're simply instruments to share that hope for the hope that lies within us, to give an answer for the hope of Jesus Christ. If you were not able to be here last week, as you leave today, we have some additional copies. It looks like this. It's a 30-day prayer guide along with a bookmark. And that bookmark is twofold. It's got scripture as you pray during the coming month. We're going to start this on October the 1st. And so you'll need to start that. When is that? Tuesday? Isn't that amazing? That Tuesday will be October. So you'll begin that process. Next week, on the 6th, you're going to bring this blue card, this blue part of the bookmark. It tears off. You're going to write the person's name that the Lord has laid on your heart. We're going to have a place here at the front at the end of our worship where you can bring that person's name. Also, make sure you indicate by your initials in some way that you'll be able to identify that particular card, and because we're going to keep these in the lobby area during this process. And I shared with you last week, I don't want this to be an event. I hope it'll become part of who we are in praying for the lost and looking for opportunities to share our faith. And so there's going to be three boards. One will be entitled Pray. That's going to be at the front of the beginning of the service, or during the service, that as a part of our worship, we'll be committing those names to prayer. Then they're going to move, that board's going to move to the back in the lobby area, and you're going to see each week as you leave a board for praying for those that need to know Christ. Then as you have prayed, this is why you'll need to initial or some way identify your person that you're praying for, because there may be more than one Travis that's put up there, okay? And so you want to make sure you move the right Travis that's across our John or Sue or Mary, whatever. And so it's going to move from pray to share. And then as you've shared, we'll obviously be continuing to pray, but as you've shared, we're praying that at some point they'll come to a knowledge of Christ, and that's going to be moved to the board to celebrate. And so I pray that next year this time, we're so accustomed to praying for lost people and sharing our faith that it's just going to be customary on your part when you come to church that you're going to be sharing the name and putting on that board as a visual, asking your church family to pray with you for that one the Lord has laid on your heart. Folks, if it's not, it's an event. And that's not a bad thing. It's a reminder. But it really needs to be who we are consistently as a body of believers. And with that today, I want us to look at this topic of reconciliation. What does it mean, the word reconciliation? Well, let me just see if I can take our mission statement, our purpose, if you will, what our emphasis is as a body of believers, and that is to know Christ and make Him known. Is that the first time you've heard that expression? Is that the first time you've heard this expression? Well, thank you. All right. To know Christ and to make Him known. The word reconciliation recognizes the fact that we have a need, that we're separated from a holy and righteous God. To be reconciled means to be made in right relationship with a holy God. And we're going to look at that ministry of reconciliation today. And so when you say, "I know Christ," you have been reconciled. Okay? And so to be reconciled is the same thing as to say to know Christ. And then once I know Christ, once I've been reconciled, God will place a burden in my heart for those who need reconciliation. And so to know Christ is to be reconciled. To know Christ and make Him known, make Christ known, is reconciliation. And we need to recognize this morning that that is the very purpose that God has placed us in this place as followers of Jesus Christ, is to be, we'll see in just a moment, ambassadors that have been given the role of reconciling a world that has been separated from Him through the good news of Jesus Christ. And so today we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, as Paul talks about this ministry of reconciliation. He says, therefore, from now on, and you've been taught through the years, when you see that word, therefore, he is speaking in light of something that's previously been said. And what's previously been said is understanding the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, the awareness that one day we will stand and give account of those things which we've done in this life, whether for good or for wrong, as followers of Jesus Christ, the hay, wood, and stubble conversation, or gold, precious, jewel type conversation. But if you look at verse 15, it says, he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And so Paul's attitude was simply this: in light of being reconciled, in light of what Christ has done in my life, I don't belong to myself anymore. I belong to Him. And therefore, from now on, that's a strong statement, isn't it? From now on, look what he says. We regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What Paul is saying in verse 18, I know Christ, and in light of knowing him, I want to make him known. I'm going to be a part of the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, he goes at it from a different direction. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so you have this word, reconciliation, which acknowledges the need that man has in being made right in his relationship with the Holy God. Being undone, being unfit, being a sinner separated from God, there's a need to be reconciled. So this morning, there are those of you here who know Christ. You have been reconciled. What that speaks of is your relationship now with God is right, is righteous. And we'll see in a moment why. It's not because of you. It's because you're in Christ. And then there are those of you possibly that are here today who need reconciliation. You have a void in your life. You may have been in church all your life, but there is a void or an emptiness there, and you need reconciliation. I want you to know that there's reconciliation available today, found in a person and a work. His name is Jesus. So with that, if you would like, there's an outline in your worship folder, and we look today at this word reconciliation. The first thing I want us to look at in verse 16 is the need. Paul is identifying a need for reconciliation. And really, he did not understand and recognize that need until he himself had been reconciled. Look what he says in verse 16. Therefore, from now on, in light of the fact of what Christ has done in my life, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Now, if you just read over that, and that's a lot of times when we read God's Word, we just read and go on, right? I don't understand what He just said, but I'm sure it makes sense to somebody. I'm just going to move on. What is He saying? I want you to look at the second part of what He says, and it'll help us gain understanding when He says, from now on, I regard no one according to the flesh. Look at this when He says in terms of His relationship with Christ. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Paul is saying, he's giving a brief description of his experience with Christ, of his testimony, of when he was reconciled. He said, there was a time in my life when I knew Christ according to the flesh. In other words, I knew He existed. I knew He was a good man. I knew the fact that He lived and walked on the face of this earth. But then He goes on and He says, yet now we know Him thus no longer. You know what He's talking about? His experience on the road to Damascus. While He regarded Christ in the flesh, He went about persecuting those who were followers of Jesus Christ. I would remind you that even during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord asked His disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He gave Himself the lowest possible title He could have given, Son of Man. He was Son of Man. But that's not all He was. And so He said to His disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they basically said, well, some Elijah or Jeremiah the prophet, you know, somebody that's a spokesman for God. And again, I submit to you, those are good opinions, but they're wrong opinions. And Paul had some type of understanding of who Jesus Christ was in the flesh, from a physical standpoint. He says, but now I know Him like that no longer. How does he know Him? He knows Him as Redeemer. As he was there on the road of Damascus, and the Lord Himself encountered him and says, why are you persecuting me? And Paul asked a question, and he answered it. Who are you, Lord? He just answered it. You, Lord. Who are you, Lord? So Paul is talking about, in light of the fact that I have been reconciled, I no longer see Jesus Christ as a man. But as Peter said, when the Lord looked at his disciples and said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son, listen, the Son of the living God. And when Paul realized on the road of Damascus, who are you, Lord? And he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. In light of his understanding of who Jesus Christ is in his life, he says in this regards, we regard no one according to the flesh. We regard no one according to the flesh. Paul's saying, I've been reconciled. And now not only have I been reconciled, but listen, I see the need for all men to be reconciled. So I want to ask you a question this morning. In your relationships, and let's begin at home, with our spouse, with our children, you extend beyond that, maybe grandchildren, extends beyond that to extended family. When you are engaged in conversation with that neighbor, or when you are engaged with that work, that coworker, or you're at the grocery store with that register, that cashier checking you out, or wherever you may be, how do you see people? And a lot of times we just see them in the flesh. We just see them physically without any understanding of who they are for eternity. Does that make sense? Now here's Paul, if you want to get into the context of what he was saying, when he says, we regard no one according to the flesh, he's saying, I don't see people as Jew and Gentile anymore. I don't see people based on their physical appearance anymore. I see them as a creation of God. I see them as someone who needs to be reconciled in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, when you have experienced, when you know Christ, when you've been reconciled, one of the things is that the need for others to be reconciled ought to be a growing concern in your heart and my heart. For it's the evidence of the fact that we are His. God, forgive me when the times that I have seen that person at the checkout counter as somebody who's going to help me get out of here as quick as I possibly can, right? Just seeing them in the flesh rather than seeing them as someone who has an eternal destination, and without Christ, it is in a place called hell. That ought to be our burden. That ought to be our concern. That if I have been reconciled, if I know Christ, that I want to be a part of reconciliation in the life of others to make Him known. Being a follower of Christ changes everything. Amen? Being a follower of Jesus Christ changes everything. Especially when it comes to how I see people. No longer just seeing them as physical, on a physical basis, but ones that have eternity or have eternal destiny. And we have eternity on our minds. In light of that, Paul says, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Now, he acknowledged there was a time he had a head knowledge of Christ. And with that head knowledge, as he saw Christ as simply a good man, but it was not until he saw Him as Lord that his life was transformed. And Christ was not merely a man, but His Redeemer. Romans 5 verse 12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. And so we recognize that there's a growing understanding and conviction and concern and burden for the need of reconciliation. Paul said to the church of Colossae in chapter 1, you were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. He has now reconciled. That's talking about our life. He is reconciled in His body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach for Him. And so when Paul was reconciled, it changed everything in his life in terms of how he saw people. He saw them as those who needed reconciliation. The second thing is the way to reconciliation. How does this being reconciled to God, how does that take place? Now I want you to know there's a lot of opinions today of how man can be made in right relationship with God. But I want you to know there's only one way. There's only one hope, and His name is Jesus. And Paul gives a summary statement in verse 21 on how someone is reconciled. It says in verse 21, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. In Him. In other words, the sins of the world were placed on Christ, and His righteousness was given to those of us who will trust Him. Hebrews 4, the writer of Hebrews says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is every respect has been tempted as we, yet without sin. And so as you think about this way and how this takes place, it's through the work of Jesus Christ. He says in 1 John chapter 3, you know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. The sinless one, the Lord Jesus Christ, became sin on our behalf. And then finally in Romans chapter 3, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Let me stop right there. Folks, that is a huge statement. Again, this is one of these areas, if we're not careful, we just read right over what's actually being said. The righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. And what Paul is saying was that God's righteousness was manifested how? Through the law. And when you see the word law, just think about this. The Ten Commandments. By the way, God gave Israel Ten Commandments. They couldn't keep those, so they came up with 600 more. And the 600 they came up with didn't accomplish anything more than what the 10 did. And all the law can do is let you know that God is righteous and we're not. That's all it can do. And so Paul is coming in there and he's saying, now the righteousness of God has been manifested, made real, revealed apart from the law. How? The righteousness of God has been made real, has been manifested to us apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. And Paul is saying, look, the way of reconciliation is not by law keeping, it's by relationship. Of understanding who Jesus Christ is in that regards. Again, the law is not bad. The law is good in the sense that it causes me to see God's righteousness in my unrighteousness. But unlike the law, Jesus Christ is able to reconcile. The law can't reconcile. It can only condemn. And so Jesus Christ came to complete the law. Not do away with it. And he's saying now, the law and the prophets bear witness the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. You go back to this idea where he says in verse 16 that we regard no one according to the flesh. He says, there is no distinction. That distinction could be made in terms of economic status. It could be made in terms of ethnic groups. It can be any kind of grouping that you would want to do of people. He's saying when it comes to this idea of needing the righteousness of God and reconciliation, there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. That word propitiation there means to appease. It means to be merciful. That God has been merciful to us by the shedding of His blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul is saying, understand this, that when you have been reconciled, you will see people differently. You'll see the need for reconciliation, not only in your own life, but in the life of others. You will see people differently through the eyes of God's love and through the eyes of God's mercy and grace. And the way of reconciliation is that way, and it's restrictive. Not restrictive in the sense of who, but restrictive in the sense of how. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see in verse 17, the results of reconciliation. A verse that we've referred to a couple of weeks ago, and again one that many of us can even quote. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A believer that is in Christ is in that relationship. It speaks of that results. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new believer who is in Christ. This was a favorite expression of Paul's. It's believed that some 130 times in the New Testament he talked about this idea of being in Christ. And to be in Christ is to be a new creation, a work brought on by the Holy Spirit. If you were with us a couple of weeks ago when we were looking in chapter 4, and he spoke about creation, you remember? And as God created, there was void and there was darkness. And God said, let there be light. And Paul was saying, just like in creation, when God spoke and said, let there be light, that your life and my life being alienated from God, being separated from God through the spoken word, through the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, let there be light. The light, Jesus says, I am the light. He came into our life and we are a new creation. That means God has given me a new nature. We're going to see as we continue looking at encounters with the gospel, where whether that encounter was personally with the Lord Jesus Christ or if that encounter was someone in the early church, where you must be born again. There has to be a new birth. You're a new creature. You've not been recreated, you've been created new. Paul wasn't talking about reincarnation here. He's talking about a new birth. And this oneness of being in Christ. Jesus even spoke of this relationship in John 15 where he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Paul said to Titus in chapter 3, verse 4, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. He reconciled us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so you see this truth, you see this reality that leads to the results. And then the last thing I want us to see is the ministry of reconciliation. Verses 18 through 20. Now all things, verse 18, are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The ministry of reconciliation. He says in verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us this ministry of reconciliation. I've been reconciled. I know Him. Now I've been given a ministry of making Him known. A ministry of reconciliation. He says in verse 19, that is, he's going a little bit deeper here. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing. That word imputing is an accounting term. Reckoning. A day of reckoning. Where you have to give an account. And so the reality of it is, God can do one of two things with our sins. He can count them, or He can cancel them. And He has chosen to cancel them. Now the book of Hebrews, this is extra, okay? I've scared some of you to death. They say, here he goes. He's starting the second sermon. The book of Hebrews, if you ever study the book of Hebrews, and it's a wonderful study, just remember this, Jesus is better. What the book of Hebrews is about, He's better. You say, better than what? Well, he starts out, He's better than the angels. He goes on, He talks about He's better than the priesthood. The Levitical priesthood. And He's a better sacrifice. When He talks about Him being a better sacrifice, what He's talking about is that in the Old Testament, that lamb that was slain on the behalf of the sins of the people, that blood could just cover the sin. And so consistently, the priest had to offer sin offering to cover the sins of the people because it kept coming back to the top. Kept bleeding through, if you will. And so there had to constantly be a covering of the sins. But when it speaks of Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews, it says He offered Himself once and He sat down. Why did He sit down? Was He tired? No. He sat down because it was finished. He offered Himself once, not repeatedly. One time. The sacrificial lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, offered Himself one time and He sat down, symbolizing it was done. God was satisfied. And it's not because our sins are covered, it's because our sins are gone. And so in verse 19, He says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing, not counting our sin, but canceling our sin. And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So, in light of the fact of what God has done in our life, we in turn are a part of that ministry of reconciling, or sharing the ministry of reconciliation with those around us. And in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. So you look at this thing, we got this, the ministry of reconciliation, and then we are ambassadors of Christ. Imagine getting a phone call from the highest office in our land. And in that call, you are told, there's a nation that's our adversary. And I want you to go as an ambassador to our embassy to help reconcile that relationship. Could you imagine getting that call? Now, I want you to understand this. This is going to scare you even worse because this is a third sermon. You think about an ambassador. Where does an ambassador take up residence? He's not here. He's in that foreign country, right? And there's an embassy. What have you been taught when you go on an international trip and you have a crisis or some? Where do you need to go? Why do you need to go to the embassy? Your home. Your home. That embassy is governed by the rules and the laws of our nation. Now, it's in a foreign land, but that embassy is home, and so go there. And now you're underneath the laws and the jurisdiction of the United States of America. Now, that ambassador is in that embassy, and he's there representing our nation. Could you imagine receiving a call from the highest office in our land and saying, would you go to our embassy in this nation that's our adversary as our ambassador so that you could represent the homeland to this foreign land and see if we can improve our relationship? I don't know if I got that call, if I would run or be honored. I don't know. That'd be an awesome task, wouldn't it? But let me tell you this. If you've been reconciled, God is calling you as an ambassador. You're not getting a call from the highest office in this land. You're getting a call from the throne of heaven itself, from the Almighty. And He says, Travis, He says, church, you're my ambassador. God's word is clear. This is not home. Our citizenship is in heaven. So let me ask you this question. Where's our embassy? It's us. It's the church. We're the embassy. We don't go by the rules of this world. We're governed by the Word of God. And we don't take on the ways of the world, the laws of the world, the opinions of the world. We adhere to the King's words. And you should be able, when you're out as an ambassador representing, when there's a problem there, you should be able to come. You should desire to come to the embassy. You should desire to come to be a part of the body of Christ. Now, here's the third sermon. You'll have to just stick it in your back pocket and wait for a while. We're abandoning our embassy left and right in this culture in which we're living in. Church is no longer seen as being the value and the importance that God intended it to be in your life and my life. And that's why when we get out here, we're not trying to reconcile people to God. We're just trying to get along. And we've got a little bit of truth and we've got a little bit of popularity with a culture. And when you try to mix those together, you have a lie. You know what half-truth is? It's a lie. Jesus Christ says, I am truth. Let me tell you something. I'm speaking to parents and grandparents. I'm speaking to me. It's vital that you are in the embassy on a regular basis so that you might be able to be an ambassador for the King. There's no greater privilege and no greater honor. And we need to recognize and understand that the ministry of reconciliation is recognizing that God is calling me, God is calling you as ambassadors of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me close with a couple of these thoughts or quotes that I've taken from my own studies from others. Generally speaking, an ambassador is a respected official acting as a representative of a nation sent to a foreign land. The ambassador's role is to reflect the official position of the sovereign body that gave him authority. Writing to the Corinthians, Paul likened his calling to that of an ambassador, and he urges all Christians to consider themselves ambassadors for Christ. The gospel of reconciliation was always at the heart of Paul's preaching. Another thought in regards to Paul, he is committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. He has not committed it to the angels. The Lord has not committed this ministry to the angels, but to us. Because who better to tell others about reconciliation than those who have been reconciled? Christians are God's ambassadors, that they've been approved by God, been entrusted with the gospel. As we go through this world, we represent another kingdom, and it's our responsibility to reflect the official position of heaven. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. God's ambassadors are to be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we must take the message of our King to the ends of the earth, imploring men and women everywhere to be reconciled to God. Imploring men and women everywhere to know Christ and to make Him known. Let's pray together. Father, in all this, Lord, as we prayerfully consider a response that is worthy of You today, would You speak to our hearts? And would You make it known, Lord, to each one of us, whether we need reconciliation or we've been reconciled? And then, Lord, as a body, Lord, we are to be that safe haven, that place where truth is embraced and spoken in a loving and caring way. Lord, we're to be Your ambassadors, and the work that we're called to do is a work of reconciliation, to help those who are in need of coming to an understanding of their relationship with God and the need of being restored. Lord, it's our task to implore, to encourage. So right now, Father, I pray that Your Spirit would work in each of our hearts, and the response that we would give would be honoring to You. So as you pray this morning, let me see if I can direct our time. Have you been reconciled to God? We've talked about the need of that, and we've talked about the way that takes place, and that's through recognition that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and His name is Jesus. And if you're here today and you are in need of reconciliation, let me just encourage you. God's Word says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be reconciled right where you're sitting in prayer from your heart. Would you agree with God of your sin and rebellion, of your dissatisfaction with the life in which you live, and with the turning to Jesus Christ and turning away from sin through repentance? God's Word says if you'll call on Him, He'll hear and answer that prayer. And you can do that right now, even as I speak. And for those of us who have been blessed by being reconciled to God, you're getting a call. You're getting a call from the throne of heaven itself. And that call is this: I need you to be my ambassador. Ambassador for the gospel. And to share in this ministry of reconciling my people, my creation, those who are separated from me because of sin. I need you to be a part of that ministry. God is calling each of us. And so would you take a moment to respond to that call and how the Lord has spoken. Father, I thank You for the trustworthiness of Your Word. Lord, we live in a confused day. And I thank You, Father, that You bring clarity and understanding to our purpose. Lord, in our call, help us to be obedient in answering that. Lord, and as we've answered the call, may we implore, may we beg, may we long for others in their relationship with You. And it's in the precious name of Christ we pray. Amen.